We're connecting even just those four or five handful of people. Think about it. And they go on about their career and they'll influence 20, 30, 40 people themselves. Well, the way I see it is I've just preached a bit gospel to 500 people. Right. And I think if we have that mentality and we constantly think of ourselves as servants, then it all comes back. Right. It has to. It has to. Right.
Welcome to The Deep Dark, a business podcast where we ask seasoned minds to excavate their history, pulling out the best insights, the hardest moments, and yes, golden epiphanies. Somewhere in the stories and laughs, we all get a little smarter and feel a little better about our own business ventures. Remember, if it didn't hurt, it doesn't count. Your hosts are Chris Lyon and Tim Douglas at the Fidelis Creative Agency. So strap in and get ready as we plunge once again into the deep dark.
In business, as in life, it is truth that you are only as good as your network. For many, building an authentic professional network is a struggle. Enter Jeremy Osterberger, President and Chief Operating Officer at BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance is a multifaceted business niched in the energy sector that leverages networks like no other. In this episode, Jeremy helps us to understand how to find your biscuit, grow your network, and find success. Enjoy Jeremy's energy as you buckle up for the Deep Dark podcast.
I'm Jeremy Osterberger. I'm on the Deep Dark with Chris Lyons.
That is so awesome, man. It's good to see you. I know we've talked on the phone quite a bit, and just so the audience knows, we've known each other for a couple decades, right?
That's wild, Chris.
Like, that's wild.
Is that where, but in between that time, is that where the gray hair started to come in for me? Not you.
I'm my hair left. Oh, man. My hair left. But that's all right. You know, what wasn't growing here is now growing here, and so I just went with it, right?
That's the way it goes, man.
Go with the flow. But no, you're doing great, man. You know, you still look the same as you did 20 years ago, except for a little gray.
Hey, man, you know, a little bit more about the around the waist, too, but, you know, we don't have to talk about that.
So. Yeah. It's funny. So, you know, just for the audience, Jeremy, I tell you, BIC and where you're coming from and what you've done is an incredible thing. And being in the marketing world for a long time and what you've done, can you kind of like give us the down low of what BIC is so the audience has, you know, a good foundation here?
Sure. You know, so Chris, and you know from our history together, so BIC Alliance, you know, parent company, right? Three groups kind of part play into that, all for the purpose of BIC, which is business and industry connection, right? And that word connection, you know, it's really what we hone in on, right? So our whole mission statement is connect people in business and industry with one another for the betterment of all, right? And so people, connection, that's it. And that's what we do all day. So, you know, primary ways in which we do it, media, right? Media and marketing, news and information, all industry related, oil and gas. That's changing a lot, by the way. But, you know, energy industry is where we kind of put ourselves in a sector, if you will. Then recruiting, right? Again, connecting people. So businesses need people. That's how they grow. And so we locate permanent roles, executive talent within the energy industry, sales and business development, divisional directors. And then the third leg of our triangle is, you know, we've made all these connections with these business owners. And so ultimately where they head is usually to some sort of equity event. They're either transferring their business, right, to a management team or a son or daughter, or they want to exit completely. And so the third leg of our business is M&A, merger and acquisition, sure. Brokering, right? And so we've done about 23 deals in that space. And so that's kind of the quick summary of what is BIC.
Yeah, what's really different about you, and of course, you know, I've been a part of BIC and done things, and the patriarch of the company, which is Earl Hurd, and he was somewhat of a mentor of mine at one point in time, he's since retired. But, you know, as that goes, the big differentiator between you and a lot of other companies that do the like, I don't know if there's anybody that has the same, you know, three legs of the stool that you have, but it is the network, right? It is the fact that when you put your publication out, you know who that publication's going to, but you also know where the client's market may be. And so you can kind of pinpoint that to the right people, which is, wow, that's the hardest part of the whole game, right?
That's right. Yeah. And you mentioned our uniqueness. I mean, we want to be that pineapple amongst apples, you know, like hell, we'll be the dragon fruit. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like, and that's what we desire to be. We aspire to be. And for that, we are unique. With that, Chris, comes challenges too, right? The way we do things, our approach, you know, so we have to have clients that understand, we have to listen to them. We have to focus on what their needs are, right? Mm-hmm. And then work together for them to understand the way this works. Yeah, we it's strange, you know, we're like a media and marketing company that don't believe that that's the only way it works. It's right. It's about, in our industry, it's connections, people. Relationships, and people, right?
It's
and so,
people.
And so people say, oh, well, you throw events. Yeah, we throw events, but it's more than that. I mean, we try and strategize what connections will elevate their mm-hmm. business to a point that is sustainable,
right.
and creates an environment that is, you know, really long term, right? And so,
right.
so the three services that we provide, we feel like those three are really what every business needs now or later.
Right. Oh, there's
right,
no doubt.
Yeah.
And you did niche out to oil and gas, energy. Energy as a whole. There's a lot more energy to not think, a lot more to energy than oil and gas. But
sure.
Hey, so let me put that up in the parking lot for a
sure.
second. Let's move over. Tell me about your story. How did you come about doing what you're doing at BIC?
That is, so Chris, when I say my personal origin story, you know, I really go back to my grandfather, and it's a good story. So I have a sort of a line I use, a tag, and it's find your biscuit.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So
I love that. Find your biscuit.
Find your biscuit. So
yeah.
So to me, I tell my clients this, right? Find your biscuit. So what in the blue hell are you talking about, Jeremy? Here it is. So my grandfather was James Davis, and his nickname was Biscuit. He worked for Exxon in Baton Rouge for, like, I don't know, 48, 50 years, something like that. And we were splitting hairs at that point, right?
Sure.
And true story. He said it's for job security. He would wake up an hour earlier than everyone, which, by the way, you're already at a plant at what,
right.
I don't know, 5
Dark
o'clock.
30.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he'd bake homemade cat head, which just refers to the size of a biscuit, right?
Sure,
a cat's
yeah.
head. I don't know where that came from, by the way.
By the way, just for our Texas folks, you are from Louisiana.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Baton Rouge, born and raised. But hey, man, live in Texas now 17
sure.
years. So,
yeah.
you know. So basically, he would get to work early. He would make these biscuits, right? And
uh-huh.
he would distribute them to his superiors, right? The plant manager, the safety director inside this refinery in Baton Rouge, right?
Right.
And again, he called it job security, right? And so he branded himself. Right, he branded himself. He was Biscuit.
He was Biscuit.
And that was his nickname. And
yeah.
he ran for city council in Baton Rouge, and it was Biscuit. There was, and his identity was no longer James. It was Biscuit, right? And
right.
so I just think that my mindset is shouldn't we all approach marketing in that way? Like, what an identifiable approach, and it's a mindset,
mm-hmm.
and it's an identity. Like, I love that word, identity. And he embraced that identity. So he taught this to my father. My father Sid, who replicated that at Dow Chemical. My dad had a very unique ability. He's a freehand cartoonist or artist.
Mm.
So he was an EH&S director, you know, environmental safety and health.
Sure.
And you know all about that. And but what he did was all the safety stickers that all these plants stick on people's
mm-hmm.
helmets, right, to keep safety top of mind.
Sure.
He hand did all these for almost 50 years at Dow Chemical in Plaquemine, Louisiana.
Wow.
And so I remember being a kid, and on the weekends, I mean, he would be in his drafting table in his shed, and I would be bouncing the basketball right next to him, right? And he would be drawing, an image of maybe a fire, like, hey, gotcha, don't get burned, you know, and he's trying to promote plant safety, right? So he took what my grandfather did and applied it to his career,
mm-hmm.
and then he took that a step further. If you retired from Louisiana operations in Dow for probably about a 25-year span, my dad did a caricature of your face, and he would surround it by these images. I mean,
wow.
No one's firing the caricature guy, Chris.
No, of course not.
Right?
Yeah, who can let go? Yeah, no,
gonna,
that's not the guy.
You want your caricature, right? So you can't fire the guy that's going to draw it, right? And so
yeah.
you know, and so that's kind of, so that's carried on, right? And
mm-hmm.
and you know, my personal identity is Yogi, right? That's my nickname when I was a kid playing baseball. And there's an origin story behind that too, Chris. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, so my point is, you know, find your biscuit, right? And
right.
I say that to folks, and that's kind of the mantra I live by. And so for our clients, you know, what does that mean, right? Well, hey, what are the top three services or solutions that you provide,
yeah.
right? Hey, what are the top three ways in which you do it that are unique or stand out from your competitors? And then the third thing I say is, hey, what are the three testimonials that can justify or explain your success rate with how you've succeeded in what you do.
So. Yeah, and that's what you brought to BIC. How did Earl find you?
Oh, well, that's a good question. So, and Earl's obviously a mentor of mine. He's a legend, Greg. I mean, you're talking about a legend, man.
Yeah,
And to his credit, too, his son-in-law, Thomas, who's our CEO, mm-hmm. you know, just to stop for a second, I mean, Thomas really took what Earl envisioned and designed, and Thomas really expanded into a really thriving business. You know what I mean? And so absolutely. Thomas gets tons of credit for the 40-year. We're 40 years this year,
wow.
Chris, right? Okay. The way that Earl I came into the picture was out of Louisiana State University. I'll say it again, Chris. Go Tigers! Just making sure we're saying that out loud.
I'm just proud you can spell it. No, I'm kidding with you. I'm joking.
Hey, spell check helps a lot. So I was out of college. I was writing and designing and laying out. I was a one-man shop, really, for a uh-huh. senior citizens publication in Baton Rouge. And my passion was doing World War II veteran interviews, right? So I got plugged in to this network, right? And this was right around the time, like, Band of Brothers was coming out.
Right.
And, like, Stephen Ambrose was writing these amazing tales of... And yeah. at the time, every 87 seconds, a World War II veteran was passing.
I remember right? that. I remember a stat like that.
It was a stat like that, right? Yeah. And so I had a column that I wrote called 87 Seconds, and I got plugged in, and I did not know where this would take me, and it moved yeah. fast, and all of a sudden I was in front of generals and movers and shakers and people that, you know,
sure.
Got it done over there. I'll put yeah. it that way. We're both in the European theater and in the Pacific theater. And, yeah. Man, that was one of the funnest times of my career. And I would go to people's homes and hang out in their garage yeah. and get to know them. That was one of the coolest moments. And Earl found me through some of that. He saw some of the stuff that I had written and, another BIC employee.
Well, he had a good eye for talent.
You know, I guess he had to develop it, Chris. There we go. Let's say that. But, so that's how they find me. I had a nice skill set of writing, production, right? Yeah. A lot like you and a lot like a lot of the members of the Fidelis team here, right?
Sure.
So that, you know, BIC's not a big company, right? We've certainly had to we have to have multi-skilled individuals
sure,
to make
yeah.
it go.
A bunch
right?
of ninjas running around the place. Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know, yeah. little caveat, I don't know if you've got to watch Masters of the Air yet.
No, is that on Apple?
Wow. It pulls up on my Apple. A lot like you, I have a grandfather figure, and of course, I grew up around the refineries myself. But as that happens, he ran the sulfur unit for DuPont in Ingleside.
Oh, wow.
And if for our listeners, if you've never been around the sulfur unit, it's debilitating. It smells like horrible rotten eggs all the time, right? Okay. There's just no way around it. But he was a navigator, a bomber navigator, and made his 24 or whatever it is, 25 flights and got to come home. And after watching that, because I was really close to him, loved him to death. But I tell you what, tears were flowing to see what he went through.
Unbelievable. What was he on, a B-25?
Yeah, B-25.
Wow. So I had the lucky, that's incredible, Chris. I had the chance to fly in one.
Did you?
Yeah. Me and my, I took my dad up in one out of Galveston.
Yeah.
For a flight, which is unreal.
Unreal. And the fact that as he returned, he was a hell of a family man. Just his community he took care of. He took care of all of us. But I look back and I go, how much courage does he have compared to anybody that I ever knew after watching that show?
That whole lot of them. The whole generation is insane.
You know, they'd go up with 32 planes and return with one.
Similar story talking about, I think we're talking about, you know, people that came before us and their bravery. One of my favorite things in my family's history is my wife's grandfather was one of like 11 kids, and his dad died when he was really young, basically as a patriarch of the family. He is. And in his office is like a letter from like the Louisiana, I think it's a brigadier general. You're probably better at me at explaining all the different ranks, right? But it says like Roland, it says like, stop going down to the strange train station and try to join the war effort. Your battle is at home. You need to raise your brothers and sisters.
Wow.
But just think about that for a second.
Wow.
They kind of put you in his mentality. Like, all my friends are going over there.
Right.
I'm going.
Yeah. It's incredible.
That whole generation is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, watch it if you haven't seen it.
Cool.
But, you know, getting back to what we're talking about here, I see, so within our business, we have some internal talk quite often, because there are a lot of tools that we use to market, especially if you're into, if you do, you know, because we're brand first, and then, you know, we're really good at design, and we're really good at digital marketing, and we're really good at content marketing, and we can do all of that. But at the end of the day, if you have a business that doesn't know how to move its feet, mm-hmm. it gets difficult. Now, most businesses do. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's once in a blue moon that we run across. And so we're very picky about, we want businesses that wants to grow. And I don't know if, we don't have a client anymore that doesn't want to grow, that just wants the status quo. But the key to there is network. When I say move your feet, what I mean is growing that network. And man, y'all are good at that network. And I have looked back through the years at the way that Earl did it, and I don't know where he found his energy, but I know you have the same amount of energy. I don't know where you find your energy, right? At the end of the day, I'm crawling home, and it seems like you're still out there doing things. Yeah. At least you throw that persona out digitally. Yeah.
Chris, I mean, Cheerios are expensive, man. You got three kids, you gotta make it happen, brother.
Yeah, well, we're empty nesters now, but they're still expensive.
That's right, man.
But tell me, man, how is it that you go about building the network that you have that over time? How many followers do you have on LinkedIn?
Well, out of social media total, probably like 75,000.
75,000.
Yeah, across all of our media platforms, we're probably well over 100,000.
Yeah.
You know, as like Bic Alliance, our parent company, and then Bic Magazine has its own real brand, right?
Right.
And then some personal, you know, obviously personal connections.
But you know. The key there is, that's a huge number, but it really seems as if...
So you nailed it. I mean, look, my whole thing is quantity over quality, right? I think the most important thing for us is that quality number, right? So it's funny, people ask us about our distribution. Our website gets about 1.3 million page views a year, right? But I would say that you know, even our newsletter volume, Chris, we could probably quadruple the number of people that we kick our energy. It's called the industry report newsletter, right? Out to industry. And I could tell you that we could probably quadruple that, but here's the thing, man. Our open rate would drop. We wouldn't have that engagement. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
We want that quality engagement. So we're sitting at about a 30% open rate in our newsletter.
Which is incredible.
It's amazing. But again, I could drop that to 5% if you want me to add 50,000 more people. You see what I'm saying, right?
But what I'm getting to is it seems like out of all the people I know within your sector, it seems like a lot of your network, you can tell their story. You can tell that person's story. You know them.
I like to say we know them, or we know someone who knows them. I mean, right?
Yeah,
we're 6 degrees separation from a vast majority of our audience, and Chris, understand too that our industry is still a niche industry. You know what I'm saying? So there's something Absolutely. Something to that, right? I mean, it's this
whole... you're not selling t-shirts. You're not selling shoes, but
No, I mean, there's...
you're selling connections.
That's right. And I would say, Chris, I think as BIC progresses, and I think we all fight this, is for probably 25 of our 40-year history, that was a way more physical thing. Now, that shift to a more digital environment and approaching a more youthful audience that doesn't necessarily always appreciate that physical.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying, right?
Let's jump into that real quick because, you know, we have oil field clients and you know, the oil field client comes in, energy client, engineering clients as a whole. Right. They come in and they say, you know, at one point in time, it was a handshake.
That's right.
And at one point in time, it was the trust was built literally on the pad or in the refinery. And it had to do with who knew who. And these days, they say what happens is you go up, you talk to the new company man or whoever it may be. And that company man, all he needs is a QR code because he wants to vet you digitally before he speaks to you.
Right.
Right. Or she speaks to you.
Right.
And so that is a whole, going back to what you're talking about, building your network at that time is not what it used to be.
No, it's not. So now how do you take that perhaps relationship that starts digitally and convert that right to a personal and physical relationship, right? That to me is probably the biggest challenge now.
If I
were to define the challenge.
Oh, that's my biggest challenge. Right. Yeah, because it's time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's also beautiful things about it. Like there is something to vetting something out before, right? It's if you go back to the dawn of man, you're de-risking. Does that kind of make sense, right? And so you're trying to verify before you even need to verify.
Yeah, I think my generation probably extended trust very easily.
Uh-huh.
And then when you broke it, then it had to be earned back. But now how do I trust you?
And it's almost like, well, I'm going to verify you so that I don't that I know or have a 90% assertion that this relationship is going to be positive. Does that kind of make sense?
That's right.
And there is something beautiful to that, right? I mean, it's actually cost. It's actually cost efficient. It's actually time efficient. So it makes tons of sense. But what I would say is, I think in our industry, what happens most time is if you are a contractor or a vendor and you're trying to work inside a site, there will be problems.
Right.
It's dangerous environment.
Yeah.
It is a technical process, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, man. So they need that relationship. And I think back to my dad. I mean, I would go back to my father again, and this has to do with relationships, and that is he was the liaison in Louisiana for United Way for Dow Chemical, right? Okay. He threw a jambalaya cook-off. He mm-hmm. wanted his contractors and his vendors there. He wanted at least one time a year where he saw their whole team in one place. He wanted to know. He would write down their kids' names. He would write down things about them. Why? Why was he doing that, Chris? Well, they're selling him. Why is he doing that?
Right. Because
he knows if they're in the middle of a turnaround.
Sure.
And that vendor maybe isn't pulling their weight, he can appeal to them in a way
right.
that gets them to perform.
Sure.
Right. And
that was interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if a lot of the owners take that approach, right? And that right. So I've always appreciated that about my dad. And I tell that to my clients, like you want that. You better have that relationship, because it won't go 100% well all the
no,
time.
No, it's not.
It's not the nature of our of this
business. Well, and I would say, in energy for sure, but I think it's every business. I think and it may not be dangerous as you would find in energy, but no day is going to work perfectly.
That's right.
Yeah,
and there's always no easy day, right?
There's no easy day. Yeah. And that's so a couple questions I have to have of you. So I see that you digitally have a great footprint.
Yeah.
How do you transfer that? Is it conscious as you're transferring that into, I'm going to make a phone call to this person, I'm going to make a phone call? How are you nurturing that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a combination of all. You know, obviously phone calls, trying to get people together. I mean, you know, what I think, Chris, works best for our clients too is, you know, that law of reciprocity, right? If I can connect someone with someone else for their benefit, I know in the end that'll come back to us later on.
Right.
And I think most of us try and operate in that way, right? And so. So powerful tools, physical events. We try and do speaking engagements where we have panels. Like yesterday, I might run through trends, projects, forecasts, and industry. I'm just trying to get everybody in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And from there, I know that connections will naturally be made.
Right.
Right. And then digitally, we're mimicking that. Like we have these virtual roundtables where 200 or 300 people are entering a quote unquote virtual room, right?
Sure.
A little bit harder to make those connections. But for our marketing partners, obviously we send them all of our registrants, right? So they can make those personal connections afterwards.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, just by having that virtual roundtable, I like that pre-process. We're introducing them together. We're making connections mm-hmm. with those leaders, right? And that in turn is invaluable to us, because even at a professional level, those maintenance directors, those plant managers, those site leaders are saying, Bic is the one that connected us together, right? Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the audience. Mm-hmm. We've never hit enter on a promotion,
right?
We're connecting even just those four or five handful of people. Think about it. And they go on about their career, and they'll influence 20, 30, 40 people themselves. Well, the way I see it is, I've just preached the Bic gospel to 500 people.
Right.
Right. And I think if we have that mentality and we constantly think of ourselves as servants, then it all comes back, right? It has to, right?
So, yeah. And what's unique in that is that as you're talking about these handshakes, and I'm seeing it work out in my head, all of these handshakes that may even happen at the operator level and eventually at the plant manager level or at whatever level it goes to, or they come up, you know, they end up building valves or whatever they end up, you know, putting together. It goes back into the three pieces of your triangle, right? Okay. And so no matter how you look at it, there's an avenue in order for you to grow revenue within Bic.
We just trap you in it. Just trap you
you're
in the
trapped.
Triangle. That's all we want. Use something.
Yeah. You know, we all know that marketing is you know, one of the, is there's only three things that you actually have to have in a business for a business to work, right? You have to be the ability to do the accounting, the ability to actually do operations and marketing. Those three things, you put those together one way or the other, you're going to do all right. But that's almost exactly what your three tiers are right there.
That's right.
You know, so you have that admin HR piece, you have that operations piece, and that marketing piece that comes through all of it. So.
And I think the M&A side, we're in a real opportunity here, because I think that if you think about Bic's history, you got 40-year history, right? So a lot of our clients are, and a lot of our marketing partners are, and decision makers are entering that 57-year plus, you know, age group, right? And so, you know, there's an opportunity here over the next 10 or 15 years to help them exit, you know, exit strategy. strategy.
Sure.
Our relationships, you know, with private equity, Chris, have been a big part of what we're doing recently, right? As bank rates and loans are doubled through the roof, right? A lot of people are reaching out to that private equity dollar that can set their own terms, right?
Right.
And so for the most part, our clients are giving up some equity in order to grow their business or exit their business. So,
right. Have to do it. So, man, in this journey that you've gone through, you know, coming at the job, because you've been, have you been there for 20
almost
years?
Almost 20 years, yeah.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah, they keep paying. I get a paycheck, so I show up. Chris, pretty awesome.
You know that's different, right? I don't know if you know that's different, but there's not a whole lot of folks that can pull that off anymore.
I told you earlier, my grandfather and my dad, I don't know, it's been ingrained in me. I guess. Uh-huh. I'm an extremely loyal person, Chris.
Yeah.
For me, it's our clients I love and our people, and Bic has awesome people, you know, and that's been the blessing working with them. And I love Bic. It's creative. And now kind of like you, I mean, this is probably the funnest time of my career doing podcasts.
I know podcasts
and videos and
it's
cool, man. It's a lot of fun. Like my 6-year-old said, I said, Jude, have a great day at school. He goes, yeah, Dad, you have a good day at work where you talk a lot.
Yeah. Hey, you know what though? It is a very fun time there. And I want to get back to a question in a minute, but there is a life cycle to a career, especially, I'm not looking at the end. I'm looking at how it goes. I will always remember, I'm of that generation that never had to get the, hunter safety course for Texas. Right. I missed it by a year. Right. And so long story short, my wife wasn't, so I went to the hunter safety course with her, and the instructor that was there said, hey, let me tell you about the lifespan of a sportsman. This is how it works. He said, when you very first get into it, he said, you're just happy if you bring something home. He said, then not too long from there, it's going to be, how much can I bring home?
Right.
And he's like, but that fades away very quickly. And then at the end of it is, I just want to be able to see people enjoy the outdoors like I do. And that lifespan, when you hit about that 20-year mark, you get to that point where you start looking around going, yeah, you know, I may have been Operations General Patton for a while, and that really just didn't get me anything but stress. But now when I get to see people understand what fruit looks like and to be able to feed their families and to be able to be happy, it's about that 20-year mark, right?
Yeah. And to that, Chris, too, like they said, there's three kind of phases of management. It's like, you know, managerial, visionary, strategic, right? And it's, for me, I think just trying to pass on the managerial, right, is probably a struggle and a weakness of mine, right? But having that balance of visionary, I think, and strategic are two that I still work on, right? And so when you tell me that story, I think of that way, like where am I in that journey, right?
Right.
And also too, Chris, I think it's important to stop and think about that. And I'm glad you said that. I'll think about that on the way home too. You know what I mean? Because that's, to me, I knew with three kids, that's the hardest part is like Earl would say, like, you know, you need to think about thinking, right?
That's right.
So have you set aside time to think?
Earl's pearls.
Yeah, you're right. It was one of his pearls. And he's got tons of them. That's one of them that stands out in my mind. Yeah. He also has one of the greatest marketing lines ever. He says, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
That's right.
That's great. You know, and that summarizes Earl too. Like, you know, do we aspire to be the greatest and the best or the first? You know, yes. But Bert Earl would say, if you're not first, just create a new category and call yourself first.
Yeah.
You know,
Earl was really good at just getting to done. And then he would reiterate, and it may be better the next time, but it was just, you know, but there had to be a moment in this pathway that you've gone through, man, because the business is doing good. And by all visual means, of course, we all know there's struggles in the background, but what was the tough spot in the last 20 years?
Yeah, COVID was rough, Chris. I mean, just,
yeah.
You know, marketing, look, what's the first thing a business cuts, you know, when
training and then marketing,
right?
You know, marketing and training.
So we're in there, right? And then what else? People, right? So mm-hmm. you know, there were two groups of our, two divisions of our company that saw some pain. Relationships matter, right? So we were able to get through it, and we pivoted, man. We did. Listen, I would say that the whole podcast and video thing for us, that's when it really ramped up. We were forced to ramp it up. We were doing it, and then we had to do it, right? And so I would say that really expanded in that time, and that was the hardest time. And I was gonna get my MBA, Chris. I think I got it.
You know, that school of hard knocks, man. You may not get a piece of paper, but wow, does it teach you things.
But you know, at the same time, you know, I think, you know, other lessons learned with that are, for me, it was just back to the basics. Like in the end, it was being able to call someone and go, hey, we'll work with you through your financial situation, but hey, I need you to, I need you to feed us too, right? We'll feed each other. And I think that that was hard and also fun in those relationships now, if they weren't before or forever.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a great, through these trials also creates beauty. Right. And so
I have another mentor, Jeff Evans, and he, during COVID, we had a business that was not doing too well as they did during COVID. And we had a frank conversation, and he said, listen, there's two types of CEOs. He said, there's that one CEO that right now will dig a hole in the ground, will bury themselves with the people, and they'll wait for this to pass over. And he said, more than likely, unless they have a lot of cash stored, they won't come out of that. And he goes, then there's the other CEO who is literally just going to stand in the front, point an azimuth, and keep moving, whether it is the right or wrong decision, just keep moving. Okay. And he goes, inevitably, you will see them come out the other side.
That's right.
And so what we need to do at this point in time, or what you need to do, Chris, is you need to be looking for those CEOs that aren't digging a hole.
That's right.
And that's what we did. And we came through. That's right. And it took a lot of creativity.
And if you think about it, if other people's lights are off and your lights are on, mm-hmm. you're actually getting more maximum value of your marketing investment.
That's right.
Right. And so that's a powerful thing to think about in times like that.
Yeah. I searched out CEOs that were buying everybody else.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Right.
They were taking advantage of the moment and growing inorganically while they weren't growing organically.
That's right. That's right. And so that found the niche, right. And found how to get there. But yeah, so that I can see how that was tough on you, but what about personally? As you go through this and you've been in the same place for a long time, you're definitely an endurance runner, right? I mean, you're an endurance guy.
Yeah.
How do you do that every day?
Yeah, man, family, man. You gotta think of them first, right? You know, and our people. I mean, I love Bic Size because I feel like every single day, every minute, I'm impacting something. Is that going to make sense? I can't work for a big company. You know what I'm saying, man?
No,
that's what I probably love most about Bic is just what Bic is. I'm talking like not even to our clients. It's like what our size is and our people and our purpose. You know, and that to me is what keeps me going.
I was meeting with a mid-level director not too long ago, and a green energy company, and they were at a high rise in Houston. And I got up there, and I entered in. Of course, somebody had to let me in with the code, and they told me which way to walk. And I got to the area where this director was at, and literally, I'm not kidding you, there were probably 20-25 empty cubicles around this one person, and they had the one cubicle in the middle all by themselves. Mm-hmm. And I remember my heart just sank for them, right? I was thinking to myself, well, self, this person probably drove an hour to work in Houston because Houston's an hour away from Houston. And they're sitting in the midst of all of these empty cubicles after COVID. And they're having to grind through their day, and then they're going to drive an hour back home after sitting here in this emptiness for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my heart just went out to him. I was like, this is not a life, right? I feel so bad for them. And it changed the way that I was going to go have that conversation. And I couldn't sympathize because I can't say I've ever been in that spot. But I could empathize in the fact that, wow, yeah, I couldn't do corporate either, man.
Right. No way. Yeah. No, we work with clients that, you know, of all shapes and sizes, right? But just for me, you know, it's a fit, right?
Yeah.
And
So you've been having fun.
We have a lot of fun, man. It's a good time and exciting time. And the key for us, Chris, I think, is just our staff being open to change. You know what I mean? I mean, now just if you are anti-change, you know, you will not survive, right? And so we have to be that amoeba, you know, and as long as we have a team that's willing to do that, we'll be just fine because we listen to our clients, right? And that's it. If we listen and we can react, then we'll be fine.
Right. So just two quick questions, and this won't take very long. Number one is give me a piece of wisdom that the listeners that as they're on today can take with them and go, wow, I need to apply that to my life.
It's find the biscuit, Chris. I'll start by you got to find your biscuit, you know, and give it some thought, you know, and hang your hat on something or a limited number of some things, right? And then perfect them. And if you never perfect them, die trying. You're in your last breath. You know, in your last breath, were you trying to get better? That's it. That's the only thing that matters, right? And that's what I would say. You got to find your biscuit.
So what is the, and my second question is, what's the big, the next big event that you're going to hold where people come together?
Oh, cool. Yeah. No. So we've got a series of kind of industrial panels where people are talking about procurement and what's going on in supply chain over the next couple of months. The biggest thing we have coming up, though, is we have a fun party. It's a party. It's our crawfish boil.
Okay.
Crawfish
so boil. I've known the crawfish. Yep. I've been there once. When's that?
May 9th. It's going to be in La Porte at Sylvan Beach, which is a pavilion. It's not on the beach. It's, well, there is a beach, but there's a building next to it. That's where Yeah. Crawfish, food, beer, people, smiles.
How do you get an invite?
Man, come find me on LinkedIn. Tell folks to hit me up. Yeah, okay. Jeremy Osterberger on LinkedIn, and I'll see what I can do for them.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be good. And that's a good way of getting in. But, hey, I appreciate your time.
Awesome.
We have droned on sometimes in this thing forever because – You both,
well, not Chris. Not we don't. You, we don't really have short conversations.
Usually,
I'm calling you when I'm on the windshield time.
There you go.
5 minutes. So thank you for having me on it. It's impressive what the Deep Dark is doing. I've listened to some other assets, and y'all are doing a great job. And look, the team here at Fidelis is top notch, and we're lucky to be working with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. We're lucky to have y'all too, because you know there are those B2B companies out there that need relationships.
That's right.
So that's we're thankful for that.
Well, thanks for being a connection.
All right, sounds good. Bye. Thanks, Jeremy.